Well, we're continuing in this series, as Mark mentioned. And really, the series we called Only, because we're looking at some onlys, some foundational, basic truths of the Christian life. As you and I respond to the same message of Jesus that Sam responded to in my office, there are some onlys that we put our faith in, that we trust God for. And so we started by considering life lived only to the glory of God. Not as a performance for God, but in response to God's grace that He has shown us. His choice has been to love and forgive and invite you to life with Him. And then last week, Mark talked to us about only Jesus being Lord. And remember, you and I are going to look for lords. We're going to make some things lords in our lives. But ultimately, we can only serve one Lord, and only Jesus is worthy to be called Lord. And this weekend, I want us to consider the place of Scripture in our lives. Only the Bible. You ever played with Legos before? My kids love Legos, especially my five-year-old Nick loves Legos. Every time that Lindsay and I go to Target, which is far more often than I wish it was, every time Nick asks, "Will you buy me some Legos? Can I get a Lego set?" And of course, he doesn't get one every time, but he loves Legos. And he's gotten very good when he gets a Lego set of tearing open the box and looking through those instructions carefully and following the steps to put these Lego sets together. And Nick's Lego sets will stay put together that way for about 2 or 3 days at best before they start to fall apart from him playing with them. And if those instructions have gotten thrown away by accident, then Nick is at a loss as to how to put that Lego set back together. And ultimately, all those Legos just end up in the same big box with his other disconnected Legos. And now he can take those out and he can build new things with them. And he has built some very creative and mysterious structures with his Legos. And they will fall apart as well. And then he can create something else with them. But to get back to that original design of those Lego sets is impossible without that little box of instructions. You ever needed to get back to the way things were meant to be? You ever looked at your life and thought, uh-uh, this isn't right. Something's off here. Something's missing. Something is out of place. This is not the way that life is supposed to go. And in those times, we reach, you and I reach for stuff that will help support the strange and mysterious structures that our lives are becoming. We reach for stuff that will make sense of the odd and surprising shape of our lives. And to get back to that little book of instructions, to make sense of what shape our lives are taking, there is one source that stands out among the rest, that rises among all other sources, and that is the Bible. For understanding life as it was meant to be lived, to know the God who designed life itself, only the Bible is able to teach us what life's really about and help us to live that way. Only the Bible's able to teach us what life was originally designed to be, because only the Bible has been given to you and I by the designer of life. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Bible's as simple as Lego instructions, because it's not. And I'm not suggesting that if we just follow the steps or something like that, that our lives will never fall apart, because that's not even what the Bible teaches. The Bible is more than a manual for life. It is a map for the lost. It is a light in the dark. It is a letter of affirmation from our Father in heaven. It is an invitation to life with Him. And all those who find your life out of shape and off balance and not as it should be, the Bible shows you and I the way to life with a Savior. No other source will lead us to Him, only the Bible. Now, that's an exclusive statement. And I realize that it will take trust and the risk of believing for us to get there and to live that way. And I realize that not all of us are even convinced that what the Bible teaches is true. But what I want us to consider today together is some questions about the Bible. First question, can the Bible be trusted? Second question, what gives the Bible authority in your life and in mine? The third question, what difference will it make if you and I trust the Bible? And so those are the questions I want us to consider. Before we do that, I want us to look at some words from the Bible. And they're in your bulletin, in fact, this morning. If you'll open that up, I actually didn't get a bulletin up here. But that's all right. I've got the words here, and they're going to be on the screen as well. But before we read those, I'd like to pray for us. Would you let me pray for you? Well, Lord, we are here. We've shown up, both on this side of the street and on that side of the street. We've shown up really with some expectation. And God, I thank You that You are the living God. And I thank You that Your words from Scripture are still for us today. And so, God, I pray, even if it surprises some of us, I pray that all of us would have a moment of encountering You this morning where we believe a little more, we trust a little more that there is a God who knows us, who calls out to us, who invites us to life. I thank You for that invitation. Help us to respond to it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at these verses. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's verses 16 and 17. And this is in a letter that Paul writes to a guy named Timothy, who is a young leader in a church. And Paul is encouraging Timothy's faith. And he says this, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." God's people have always been people of the Word. From the very beginning of God's relationship with humanity, God has revealed Himself by His words. And it's been God's words that people have responded to. So we have Adam and Eve hearing God's voice and responding to His words. And then we go on throughout Scripture, characters like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Deborah and on, men and women who responded to God's words. They did not worship a figure or a statue or an idol. They worshiped the God who was revealed with words. These words began to be recorded over time so that the Jewish people became people of the book. And they knew God by what was written and what we have as the Old Testament. But while they knew God by His words, they also had words spoken to them from the cultures and the people around them, and they began to accept philosophies and religious practices that were not from God. And those things, as we saw in the story over and over again, led them away from God, so that God had to call them back to Himself, as He does over and over again. And how does He do it? With words given to prophets. And we have those words recorded as well. And then in the New Testament, you have God's Word made flesh in Jesus, revealing to us who God is. But you also have the words of the religious leaders around Him, vying for the attention and the allegiance of those who were following Jesus. This tug of war between God's words and the words spoken by others are a constant point of conflict for the people of God. And you and I may not face those same words of competition, but we have other voices and other words that vie for our allegiance. We have the collective voice of our culture that may or may not reflect the words of Scripture. We have media that is not at all concerned with Scripture. We have our government and our court decisions and laws and political agendas that may or may not reflect or even be concerned with what the Bible says. And so, according to what words will you and I live? Jesus said that His words were like a rock that could be trusted, not like shifting sand. What voices, what words will we trust with authority to determine what is right and good and true? Is it the Bible and what is politically correct? Is it the Bible and what my professor told me in college? Is it the Bible and the Supreme Court? Is it the Bible and certain claims and teachings of Buddha or other world religions? Is it the Bible and, or is it only the Bible? Amazingly, these questions have been asked over and over again throughout the ages, throughout trends and fads and philosophies that have come and gone, but the words of the Bible still stand like a rock, just like Jesus said that they would. And so I want us to consider carefully some questions about these words in the Bible. So the first question: can the Bible be trusted? And I understand that some of you might have questions about the reliability of the Bible. Can we trust what it says when it was written so long ago? Could truth have been lost in translation? Couldn't it have been written by some crazy people who thought that they knew God? Isn't it possible that we don't understand what was originally written? All of those are good questions. And whatever your question might be, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Search out the answer. Explore the Bible. Give the Bible a fair shake. Don't assume that you already know what the Bible says. In fact, I found an article this past week that listed a list of four common counterfeit verses that are often assumed to have come from the Bible. And maybe you've assumed they came from the Bible as well. The first one: have you ever heard someone say, spare the rod, spoil the child? It's not in the Bible. Or how about this one? This too shall pass. You ever heard that one? I read an article that said that about Donald Trump this week, actually. But my grandmother loves that one. This too shall pass. Not in the Bible. Or I've used this one: God works in mysterious ways. Do you think that one was, that sounds like the Bible, but no, it's not. Or how about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Trader Joe's puts that on their soap products, but not in the Bible. Tommy told me the other day that he was out somewhere and he met a young Scientologist who was on the sidewalk handing out flyers, and got into a conversation with this guy. And at one point, Tommy asked this Scientologist, "Do you really believe all of this?" And this young man said to him, "Well, you know, all religions are basically the same. Like the Bible says, God helps those who help themselves." And Tommy said, "No, it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it says something entirely different. The Bible says that by God's grace and because of His love, He's done for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. But we have a way of co-opting sayings and quotes and ideas that we stick onto the Bible like Legos that don't belong there, and we make assumptions without really knowing much about the Bible and what it says. And so we have to explore the Bible before we assume things about it. One of the things I love about the Bible is how remarkably transparent a book it is. There is not a secret society of Bible keepers who guard old translations so that we can't see the history of it. In fact, there are pieces, there are copies and fragments of copies that stretch back almost 2,000 years that we can look at and compare and study. The careful transcription of scriptures passed down throughout history is unlike that of any book in antiquity. There has been more research, more scrutiny, more historical criticism of the Bible than any other book in history. And the more we learn about this remarkable book, the more amazing it becomes, and the more historically reliable the biblical record becomes. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written by at least 40 different authors over a 1,600-year period on three different continents. And yet, the themes and messages and prophecies and teachings of the Bible fit together with stunning consistency. More than any other book, the Bible has been read, translated, printed, and quoted. It is the best-selling book of all time. It has shaped the world that you and I live in more than any other source. The writings of Buddha, the writings of Muhammad, the writings of all other religions put together cannot compare even closely to the impact that the Bible has had on a global and historical scale. The words of the Bible have transcended every culture and every part of the world that it has been received in. I tell you this so that you do not mistakenly believe that a small number of half-wits or certain ethnicities are trusting the Bible as the inspired Word of God, because that is far from the truth. As our world has advanced, so has the number grown and increased of people who are trusting the Bible as the Word of God to know God and understand life with Him. This kind of far-reaching and prevalent influence that the Bible has had on human history is the kind of impact that one would assume could only happen if God Himself wrote a book. And so it is at least worth considering if perhaps these words were indeed inspired by God. I wish I had more time to illuminate the reliability of the Bible, but I encourage you to look into it. Read it on your own. This book ought to be explored again and again. In fact, you may find that it is more than a book. You might be surprised to find that through the Bible we can encounter the living God who inspired the words. So can the Bible be trusted? Explore it, read it, and decide what you believe. Second question. What gives the Bible authority in my life and in your life? That verse that we looked at from 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And so the Bible is not merely about God. It is from God. Other translations use more graphic language to say that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is from Him. It is given by His breath or His Spirit. So does that mean that God spoke these words and men heard them and wrote them down? Maybe. Does it mean that by the power of the Holy Spirit, men were inspired to write these words for God's purposes? Maybe. Did they write what they thought was the truth as God gave them thoughts? Maybe. However it happened, what we have is a collection of writing inspired by the Spirit of God so that through this book and only this book, we might know God. I love this quote by Albert Einstein. He said, no man can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. Albert Einstein said that. He's a pretty smart guy. Paul writes to the people in Corinth. Same guy that wrote the letter to Timothy writes to a church in Corinth about the good news of Jesus. And he says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. By God's Spirit, we are given God's words. This is what gives the Bible authority in our lives. God breathes in these words. And because God breathes in these words, I can know God. I can encounter God through these words. My wife and I have a dog named Nightly. I've told you a little bit about Nightly before. Nightly sleeps in a crate in our room at night. And we have a big fluffy blanket in there that he loves to lay on. And every once in a while, I will wake up in the night and look over at Nightly's crate, and I'll be initially startled to not see him there. And I think, where is Nightly? And then I notice underneath that blanket, I can see him breathing. He's crawled under that blanket. It's not that Nightly's gone. He's there. I can see him breathing under the blanket. And the Bible is kind of like that blanket. It says, the Word of God says that God breathes in that Word. We can know God through His Word. We can encounter Him because He has inspired those words for us to know Him. Only from the Bible do we hear of the God who is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who not only created the world, but loves the world. Only from the Bible do we hear of the God who does not choose merely the beautiful, the powerful, the popular, the impressive, or the righteous. Only from the Bible do we hear of the God who chooses to love with utterly lavish abandon, to love when love is not deserved, to forgive sin, to show mercy, to uphold justice. Only from the Bible do we hear of the God who is willing to be near to the brokenhearted, to lift up the faces of the downcast, and to set captives free. Only from the Bible do we hear of the God who fully experienced the human condition by showing up in the flesh of a poor carpenter's child in a backwoods town in a remote part of the world. Only the Bible tells of a God who would not place His Son on an earthly throne, but would allow people like you and I to place him on a cross. Only from the Bible do we read of the God who was willing to suffer and experience death so that nothing would separate us from him. Only from the Bible do we read of this God who says, "You won't pay me anything to get my attention or to earn my love. I will pay the price so that all of my riches, the riches of my grace and the riches of my righteousness, will be deposited on your behalf." Only from the Bible do we read of the God who did not stay dead, but who rose from the dead with the power to overcome, and who offers that same power to all who would trust him. Only from the Bible do we read of the God who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And as we read and hear the words of the Bible, we encounter this God. That's why this book alone gets to be the authority on matters of faith and truth and life with God, because his book alone has been inspired by him. And through the Bible, we can know him. Third question. What difference will it make if you and I trust the Bible? Paul tells us exactly what God desires to bring about in my life and in your life with his inspired word. Look at those verses again from 2 Timothy in your bulletin. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Lindsay and I came home from vacation a couple of weeks ago. We had been visiting my family in East Texas. My family has a ranch there, and we love to spend time there, mostly because it is radically different from life in Los Angeles. And so when I'm there on the ranch, I love to do stuff that I would never do here in L.A. My dad has cattle and horses, and my brother and my dad and I worked the cattle while we were there one day, and you have not lived until you have stared down a 900-pound cow coming your way, by the way. But one of the ideas that we had while I was there, my dad and I decided that it would be fun to build a chicken coop and get some chickens. And so we decided to do that. And my dad had the idea of building this chicken coop in the side of an old barn that's on the ranch. It's an old barn that my grandfather had built. It seems like it's been there forever. And we were gonna connect this chicken coop, incorporate it into this old barn. So we started to measure and to cut wood and to build, and we became quickly aware of how much this old barn has begun to lean over the years. It's an old barn, and over the years it has slumped and it has sunk in places so that there is not a straight line in that barn. Now, we had not noticed that until we tried to build something new and straight. And so the only way that we found that we could find a straight line was to use a level. Have you ever used one of these before? I love these things. You move it one way and the bubble moves, and you move it the other way and the bubble moves, and you've got to get that bubble right between the lines, and when you do, it reveals what is level. We had to use this in that old barn. Listen, our lives are like that old barn. You and I are going to shift, and we're going to sink, and we're going to lean, and we're going to get off balance in life. And we need a level. We need a standard The Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament used to talk about God holding a plumb line over his people. This is what a plumb line looks like right here. It's a weight on the end of a string. And by gravity, when you hold this plumb line, it reveals a straight line. You see, you and I are going to need a straight line in life. We're going to need something that reveals to us what is right. Only the Bible. Because only the Bible reveals the one who holds the plumb line and the level. Only the words revealed by God in the Bible will lead you and I to truth and righteousness. There were times when I would look at that chicken coop and it looked crooked. And then I remembered, no, it's the barn that's crooked. I had to trust the level. And there are going to be times when we look at the Word of God and we look at the world around us and we say, this doesn't seem to fit. This seems off in comparison. And we have to trust and we have to allow God's inspired Word to shape our perception of life and not the other way around. God's desire for you and I is to reveal himself to you and me through his word so that we might respond to his words, so that we might be led to his truth and his righteousness that is found through Jesus Christ, so that we might do what is good. And for that, we need the word of God, not just a self-help book, not ancient wisdom, not merely good words. We need God-breathed words from him to show us where we're off in life and to show us the way into righteousness and goodness, trusting only the Bible to lead us to truth and understanding about God will absolutely make a difference in your life and in mine.